Take your ADHD business to the next level with Chad's Parents of Parent Family Training on ADHD, a certification program. Help parents in your community discover new techniques and how to manage ADHD across the lifespan. We've done the hard work for you. When you become a licensed partner, you'll receive ongoing customer and marketing support from Chad, course materials, training manuals, and much more. Help improve the lives of those with ADHD while growing your business. Become a licensed partner today. Visit Chad.org for more info. Click, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening out there. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. And tonight, I'm very excited about our topic, the challenges of changing organizational systems. This has been an interesting show in the making. I'll tell you a little more about that in just a couple seconds. But real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, July the 8th in the year 2015 and at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some quick announcements. The Success with ADHD Telesummit is around the corner. Starts this Monday the 13th. You can find out about it by going to successwithadhdtelesummit.com. There's a whole plethora of speakers there that we've had on our show. Alan Brown, Rick Green, Jody Sleeper-Trippett, Ari Tuckman, the Impact ADD ladies, and a lot more. And yourself, I mean myself, actually, I'll be on talking a little bit about one of my favorite topics about boredom. So check that out. Also, it's not too early to start planning for the CHAD conference. That's for children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Their conference this year is in November, from the 12th to the 14th in New Orleans. If you haven't been to one of these conferences, it's a great opportunity. A lot of the speakers or a lot of guests we have on the show present there, but there's nothing like running around with your tribe. You actually learn more meeting people and talking to them in the hallways than you actually do in the breakout session. So I've got to plug that. Also, ADHDfund.com is a crowdsourcing site. It's there to raise funds for small-scale ADHD research worldwide, so I want to point your attention to that. And I think that's all of our announcements. So let's get into tonight's show. Tonight is I've been doing a few shows recently a little differently. Historically, for 5 years, I always had a guest on the show, and it was a fascinating experience for me because I did it as a means to have something to talk about, to get out on social media, and to bring education to the crowd out there. But what was fascinating to me and unintended, but very thankful that I received it, was the education that I received in interviewing all the experts. And between that and my practice, I think I've gotten some insights over the years. And tonight, I really wanted to kind of sit down and take some of the things that I've learned from some of the experts and talk about the challenges of changing organizational systems. And the idea is that what I hope to do is to frame out a little bit of what ADHD is and how the brain works, and then talk about systems, more importantly, adopting new organizational systems. And I really want to point out why. This is a personal feeling. I can't say that there's science behind this per se, but based on my experience, I think it's more difficult for those with ADHD to change habits and or adopt new organizational systems. So I'm going to talk about that, and then at the end, I actually want to talk about some strategies that I have found in working with people switching that are things to keep in mind that are really pretty effective. So let's just start talking about just ADD and kind of frame it out so we can get into this. And I think the first interview I did with Dr. Russell Barkley was somewhere in March of 2011, and we were talking about emotions, and later, a year later, I think we talked about his EF, Executive Function Deficit Disorder construct, which basically reframes ADHD as an executive functioning issue, which is largely about self-regulation. And in those interviews, he used to talk about, think of the ADHD brain as there's the automatic brain. It's the auto, it's on autopilot. That's where the impulsivity comes in. And then there's the executive functioning brain. The executive functioning brain is the prefrontal cortex, basically your forehead area. And the executive functioning brain is very effortful. It actually has to kind of step in and override the automatic brain. In other words, you got to pause and you got to think about what you're doing. And that requires some effort. It requires some thought. And a lot of those with ADHD, we know they're impulsive. When they're threatened, they kind of go to fight, flight, or freeze. ADHD also, to me, is a self-regulation issue, so there's an emotional side of that. And we begin to look at the brain in this context and realize that executive functioning is very effortful and you have to override automatic behaviors, we can begin to go in and start taking a look at habits, and that they're more difficult for those with ADHD to change, because it's just not that you do it. You have to stop what you're doing and think about it. So one of the ways that I can talk about this with people, but I like people to experience kind of what I'm talking about. And I have a simple exercise that you can think about. Actually, I really encourage you to go do it, that will kind of help you understand what I'm thinking. Most of us have a dominant hand. I'm right-handed, so I open doors with the right hand. I drink with my right hand. I flip light switches on. But if you were to take a section of the day where you were somewhat active, and imagine going around your day and having to turn lights on, open doors, and drink and or do things with your less dominant hand. In my situation, that would be my left hand. And I think that's a great illustration, because automatically you reach out with your dominant hand all the time. But in order to do it with your non-dominant hand, you have to stop very effortfully and think about what you're doing. You got to notice it, and you have to override that impulsive reach, if you will, of the right hand, and substitute for the left hand. And I think that if you were to go try that for a period of time, you'll really kind of understand what we're talking about when we talk about the automatic brain and the executive functioning brain. And with that being said, those with ADD, we talk about the need for habits. Because if you can take something that you normally do and you can make it a habit so that it's an automatic behavior, it actually saves some of that energy, that you will, from your executive functioning brain to do other things. And Dr. Barkley talks about the executive functioning brain having a smaller fuel tank, and there's only so much fuel to go through the day. And when you've used it up and it's exhausted, you have to go replenish that. But he also talks about sometimes how when it's exhausted, the ADHD symptoms are a little bit more exasperated. So if we go into this notion of changing systems, understanding that you have the automatic brain, and to make that change from a habit to another habit or from a system to another system requires you to pause very effortfully and override what you would normally do, then we can begin to see that. Again, with the left hand and right hand, I hope that kind of gives you a sense for what that is. So with that being said, I want to kind of move on to something that will shock most of you or have you kind of dazed and confused, and that is we all have very, very effective and distinct organizational systems. Often people come to me with coaching on organization, and they'll say, I'm disorganized. And it's fascinating to me because it's difficult to make a call or remember anything. I mean, there's so much that you do in your life that you actually accomplish, and you do it because there is some underlying system that's there. Whether you're conscious of it or not is a different thing. And I realize this might be kind of difficult, but I want to kind of illustrate, because we're conditioned to think of organizational systems in a certain way. And we're conditioned to do that, and I would submit to you that a lot of times we're conditioned to pay attention to the wrong thing. And let me illustrate. I wrote an article for Attitude or Tension Magazine a period of time, and actually we did a show many years ago with Casey Patey called Ugly Organizational Systems. And the topic in the article really kind of born out of the notion is that when we think of organization, we think of pretty. Nice columns, rows, labels. I mean, it's very orderly and pretty. But what I found with many is that just because it's pretty doesn't mean they can find anything. And I began to realize in my coaching that to me the definition of organized is, if you need something, can you put your hands on it now? Can you walk to it and know exactly where it is? And if that is the case, to me it's organized. Now, it might be ugly. You might have a pile of stuff all over the place. Think about the people you walk into their office, and there's just mounds and mounds of papers and files and stuff, and it looks like a disorganized mess. And for some, it might seem that way, but often, those that I've coached, they know exactly where everything is. You ask them for something, they reach right over and they can grab it right away, and while they don't think that they're organized because it's not pretty, I would argue that if they made it pretty, they wouldn't be able to find anything. And so that's an example of how we are blind to certain things. And we did a show with Dan Simmons a couple years ago. He wrote co-wrote the book called Invisible Gorilla, which I'd encourage you to watch if you like attention like I do. And the book does a lot of talking about brain biology, and it really quickly illustrates how we miss so much more than what we realize that we do. And I don't want to get too far into it, but the point really is that we're conditioned to pay attention to things in a certain way, and we don't understand how they function. And to me, there's many of those with ADHD that are very organized, but it's not necessarily pretty. When you go into your systems, and a lot of this show was born off of a couple people that I coached, three lawyers actually, that felt that their organizational system was in complete disarray, yet they still got things done, and I was arguing with them that they actually had an organizational system. I needed to understand what it was. And to give you an example of this, two of them didn't really put contacts into the contact section of Outlook or their email program. When they needed an email address, they would search on certain folders for the name they were looking for until an email came up, and they would kind of cut and paste that into the new email. If you'll notice here is that they had a system to get the email address by searching. It wasn't necessarily in the contact section that like I and some other people would do, but they did actually have a system to do that. And what I'm submitting to you is to begin to think about is if you're out there, begin to look at your world and realize that you actually have systems in place that you are there. They might not necessarily be mainstream, like putting your contacts in a contact section of your email program. You might search in a different way, but that's actually how you find it. So with that being said, I want to run to a break real quick. Before we go, if you're interested in learning about me, I'm Jeff Copper. I'm an ADHD and attention coach. You can find more information on me at digcoaching.com. We have a products page. We have a bunch of services. If you're really fascinated with attention like I am, there's actually a video workshop called If Only You Understood Attention. It's about 30 minutes long that I can guarantee you if you check it out and watch it a couple times that you'll understand and see attention in a completely different light. It's amazing because you'll, if you're an intellectual at all or just kind of curious how things work, you'll be fascinated because you'll see things in a million different light and intrigue you. And while it doesn't address ADHD specifically, it can kind of help you understand and be able to pay attention to what works for you. So with that, we're going to take a break. We're going to go to some advertisements, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a time timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here talking about the challenges of changing organizational systems for those with ADHD. And before the break, we kind of framed out ADD in terms of the automatic brain and the executive functioning brain, and the executive functioning being very effortful to have to step in and override those automatic behaviors or those automatic habits or those habits that you've kind of done. I also wanted to introduce the exercise of going around opening doors and drinking and flipping on lights with your less dominant hands. You actually can experience how effortful that is to understand kind of what I'm talking about. And then I wanted to get into the notion that we are all organized. It might not be pretty or it might not be effective, but we all have systems that are in place because we wouldn't be able to do anything had we not been able to do that. And one of the things that I outlined is a couple lawyers that I had, two in particular, the way they organized or the way they got email addresses is they would search in a folder in Outlook to find a person's name to get their email address and kind of cut and paste it, which is different from loading it into your contact section. So you open a new email and you type in their name and you kind of do it. In that situation, I want to illustrate that there is a system in place, maybe not as efficient as if you load it in a contact, but in fact, there's still a system there. So now we begin to say, hey, listen, I'm not efficient, or I know that there's a better way, and I want to change organizational systems. Now, let's take just this contact information. First of all, it's very effortful because you've got to go and you've got to load all the contact names into contacts, and that's a repetitive and boring routine task, which is classic hallmark characteristics of things that are difficult for those with ADHD. You might get started with it and get part of it done, but what I find most of those with ADHD would lose interest in it at some point in time, so they would end up getting a partial list done. And so now they're stuck, and they end up going back to the old system because they haven't really kind of converted all to the new system. But that's just an anecdotal thing to realize. Now, for most of us, in the 21st century, life is running about 100 miles an hour. And so we've built these systems that get us through life, and they're inefficient at some point in time. And so if you're going to go try to find a new system, you have a few things that are going on here. Number one is, what system will work for you? There's lots of systems. You go to the self-help section of the bookstore, you go to the internet, you find calendar systems. There's countless, and they're all different. But the question is, which one will work for you? And quite frankly, it's a challenge to understand which one will maybe work for you. As an aside, I do a lot of working with people to try to understand how they naturally organize and process information in their mind, how they learn, because if they understand how that works, that will give us clues to external systems. Just a side note, I can't tell you how many of those with ADHD I've worked with that were trying to organize themselves with calendars, with digital calendars on smartphones, and we finally said, about half the time we just go to paper, and they find it is a breath of fresh air and so much easier because of the screen and some of the things I won't necessarily get into. But going back to the premise here is that if you're going to switch systems, is the question of what system will work. And many of those with ADHD, I find, have tried new systems only to find out that either they were too massive and too big and they didn't do it, or they spent an enormous amount of effort to adopt the system and realize it doesn't work for them. And so let me kind of give you a little bit of a personal example of that. Many years ago, I got fed up with Microsoft and was really over all the problems that I had with my computer. When something would go wrong, people got everybody, Microsoft would point to the application people and the plug-in people, and you could never get any help. And I was like, the heck with this. I want to go to Apple. So I got an Apple computer, and I started making the transition. It was interesting to me. A few things came out. Is at the time that I did it, I realized that Microsoft was really good to me at databases and organization. Apple was really good at the presentation of information and the consuming of information. So what I found that they were good at were very, very different. But more importantly is Apple wanted to control my library on where things were filed, whereas Windows, under my documents, the way I remember things is I don't recall the name of a document. I have, under my documents, I got work, and I got personal, and some other ones. And so when I know I'm looking for something, I look at the choices of subfolders that I have, and this is work, then I would click on that. And if it's related to something, my virtual assistant, I would click on her folder. And so I'm presented with subfolders and subfolders. It's a decision tree of sorts based off of category. And I ask my questions, and at some point in time, I click on enough buttons, and I get to a folder, and there's a handful of files left, and I can recognize the one that I'm looking for. Whereas with Apple, I found that they wanted to put it somewhere, and I had to be able to recall the name of what I was looking for. And I don't have a real naming convention per se. I do a lot of dating of some stuff, and so I would search for things and get like a gazillion of them and be completely lost. And so I actually began to realize is that I actually still use the Apple computer for creating audio and video content and editing that, some of that stuff on that side of it, but I had to migrate back to the Microsoft because I was more able to organize things the way I see them in my mind. And so the idea here of what I'm trying to illustrate is if you go out there and you get a tool or an app or something like that, and you're like me, you think of things through a decision tree or category, and you have to do a recall. You invested the time and the effort into that new organizational thing, and it doesn't map to your brain. It doesn't make any sense. So that can be a real problem. But the thing about this is realize is if you're going to move from one system to another, and we'll go back to the contact information on the email, is that automatically you would go search for something, and you'd have to actually stop yourself and realize, well, wait a second. I either need to go look in my contacts, or I need to search and add this to my contacts. That is very, very effortful. Now we're getting into opening the door with your less dominant hand, and that takes time. You have to pause, you have to engage, and you have to think. And when you have to think about what you're doing, that fuel tank decreases just a little bit so that you don't have as much fuel. And if you keep having to do this with contacts throughout a day, you'll find that your fuel tank gets exhausted much, much quicker, and you're spent at some point in time, and you have more difficulty with the executive functioning. And so realizes that the point here is that because this is very effortful, it slows you down in trying to respond to what you're doing, because you have to stop and think. You have to stop and spend some effort. And at first, you might do once or twice, but when the pressure's on, I find that they go back to the old system because it worked for them, they got it out the door, even though there's a promise of a better system. The other thing, too, is that when you're making this transition and it's very, very effortful and you're under the gun to cheat, if you will, and just search for the email the way you remembered that you would do it, and you're working back and forth between that and loading them into the context section, is actually through that process sometimes you forget where you are and you miss information or you do things incorrectly and they don't necessarily go. So the point really is because it's very, very effortful to switch from a system that's become automated, even though it might be inefficient, it's very effortful to stop and think about the new system while life is coming at you 100 miles an hour, realizing is that you might miss a few things. And so we can begin to see the perfect storm come together here of how this takes a lot of energy, and it's really, really difficult for those with ADHD. See if there's anything else I want to say on this. So to recap, number one is you have to stop, pause, and think about what you're doing. Your life is moving 100 miles an hour, so now you have to slow down. The amount of work that you have to do doesn't change, but it's taking you longer to to do the same amount of work. It's taking more energy out of you and exhausting your fuel tank. You're apt to miss things, particularly when you're under pressure to do some stuff. And when you make this transition, if this new organizational system is not fitting to your brain very well, all that effort was for naught, and you have to go back to the old system. So as you do that over a period of time and you find systems that don't work, it's no wonder why those with ADHD procrastinate about putting new systems in, is because they've had negative reinforcement that most likely it won't necessarily work. So that grandiose idea of this new system that sounds really good, but you keep putting it off, is because you don't know what's going to work and you're very skeptical, and sometimes I think for some good reason. So with that, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and I want to talk about some things that you might be able to do and be more conscious about this, and if you are going to switch systems, things to think about that might make it a little bit easier. Again, I'm Jeff Copper, ADHD and Attention Coach with DIG Coaching Practice. To learn more on me, just go to digcoaching.com, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. We're having a conversation about ADHD and changing, or the challenges of changing organizational systems, or habits, really, but I like to focus on organizational systems because it's a little bit more tangible. At the top of the show, we talked about ADHD and the automatic brain, the executive functioning brain, and then in the middle segment, we started talking about the challenges of the realities of having to stop and slow down and think about what you're doing, and you know, the world doesn't necessarily comply. As we say, it's kind of like fixing the engine while you're driving down the road 100 miles an hour. It's not necessarily that easy. But in this section, I want to kind of begin to talk about some things to kind of keep in mind. Because if you do have ADHD and you get the whole effortful thing with using your less dominant hand, and by the way, the more complicated or the more entrenched your system, the longer you've been using it, the more difficult to switch over. And you get these other things. So what do you do? And one of the best answer to this across the board, and one of the more difficult ones to provide or to find, is actually to find somebody with an organizational system that they have that they can, you can sit with them, they can show it to you, and you can kind of practice with them. I myself, because of my dyslexia and learning disability, I remember back in the 80s I was in New York, and there was an organizational system that a guy taught me. And oversimplifying is my secretary's desk had hanging files with the 31 of them with the numbers 1 through 31. And I'd sit in my office, and any task that I had to do was a dedicated folder. And what I would do is I would open it up, and I'd have a task that I needed to do and follow up on, and I'd maybe send a letter or something, think I'll get a response in 5 days. And if today was the 8th, I would put a post on the outside of July the 13th, and I'd put it in my outbox. And my secretary would take it and drop it into folder number 13, because that's 5 days after the 8th. And every morning she would bring in all the all the file folders that were in the 13th day, and I would go through that and say what was done, and I would make notes, do follow-ups, and make some phone calls, and I would always systematically repend it. I call it pending or hold for review, and the system would cycle through till each action item was taken care of, and in which case it was thrown in the trash, or it needed to go to a historical file. But for me, it was cool because he had the system, and I sat down and I watched him do the system, and I began to mimic his system. And later, you know, I made some adjustments. And when we went to computers, I made it digital. So in my inbox, I've got under it, I've got 31 subfolders. So if I send you an email and ask you a question, I think it might take a couple of days. I go to my outbox after I send it, and I'll drag and drop it into the 13th. If you will, and then every morning on the 13th, I'll drag all those emails and put them into my inbox and kind of follow up and delete it. So that system that I have in paper is actually mirrored digitally. But for me, the huge aha and the huge win was I saw somebody else's system that mapped my brain, that I was able to watch them do it and mimic their behavior, and it wasn't flawless, but it was a relatively easy transition because I could see it at work, and I could see that it fit in my mind. In the Internet right now, what's frustrating to me is that's not the case. Is you go to these organizational tools, and you have to sign up, and you have to invest so much time in the education to find out that either works for you or doesn't work for you. And quite frankly, a lot of those that I coach, they go in, and they try to fit their brain and their behavior into the app that doesn't work for them, as opposed to saying, this is how my brain works, what app kind of goes with it. The latter makes the most sense, but there's very few people that you could walk in and say, I need an app that thinks things in terms of hierarchy and category. So anyway, long and short of it is I'm having this topic not to depress you, but actually give you hope and realize what's going on so you can kind of look for it. So the best, number one, is to see somebody else's system, mimic their system, kind of walk through it and kind of try it on for size and be able to work with them. The other one is if you're going to make a system, and you can do the research, is immersion. I learned so much for those that I coach. I was coaching this individual one time, and he was trying to lose some weight, and he was talking about the show, The Big Fat Loser. And it was interesting to me because, as he described, he says, you know, they immerse you in the experience where you live with, I mean, basically it's all about losing weight 24/7. You've got nothing else to think about. And working with him, we created an environment for him to immerse himself in something. He was very, very successful. And so if you're going to make these systems, realize that if you're going to convert one to the other and it's going to be very, very effortful, then you're going to need to immerse yourself in it. Doing it kind of part-time is going to be really a little bit of a challenge because you've got to be kind of on. You've got to kind of clear the decks of distractions because you know it's going to take more effort for you every day to be able to stop, reach out with your non-dominant hand, if you will, till you do it in such a way that it becomes more accustomed to you and makes some sense. So that's another tip is if you're going to do it, try to immerse yourself in it. And the other thing, too, is if you're going to make the transition, if you can, do it in small increments. So if you're going to, going back to my examples, if you're trying to change an organizational, so the way you manage stuff within Outlook, and you're going to deal with context, just try to focus in on that and move that behavior maybe over a period of time to that. Another thing that you might do is many with ADHD is I find that they have like one inbox and there's like 20,000 emails in it. And that notion of being able to subcategorize those and pull them out and say, listen, these are all work emails or these are personal emails or what you're doing, you wouldn't want to do that and the context at the same time. You'd want to choose one at a time. As you do that, and I'm going to digress here for a second. For that crowd that's got 20,000 emails, trying to go through that each one at a time is kind of crazy. Usually, what I suggest is you make a subfolder and you say all emails before such and such a date, and you deal with that system. And then you start bringing new emails in. And you say, okay, this is reading, this is trash, and some subfolders. So you deal with the legacy system at some point in time, so that you don't have to go through and redo that. And by the way, I hope I didn't lose you on that. Transitional type thing, but as you, I guess the moral of this story is in working with those with ADHD, many of them have become dependent on existing patterns of behavior that enable them to get some things done, maybe not as efficiently as they are capable of doing, but the barrier, the obstacle, is really the need to pause and engage the executive functioning brain, which is very, very, very effortful, which is hard for those with ADHD, and it's somewhat time-consuming, and if you're switching to a system that you're not sure that works, or if it's coming at you 100 miles an hour, I find that they procrastinate on it. And so one of the best things to do is either go to try to find somebody with the system, demonstrate it and mimic it, choose that you're going to do it at a point in time and immerse yourself in it and try to get other people to do it with you, or to slice it off one piece at a time and transition from one system to another slowly over kind of a period of time. Now, again, the idea here was to help. I find that those with ADHD is sometimes you don't always need to have the solution, but the awareness of the struggles and challenges that you're up against create that pause and say, okay, listen, I realize that I haven't been switching to this new system because it's going to rock my world for a couple of days because I'm going to have to stop and think about it. And if that's the case, then you can better plan and create that environment. So I hope what we talked about today was information. You learned something from it. I hope you're not discouraged. My goal is that you begin to understand why it's more difficult for you maybe to adopt these types of things and actually give you hope with what I've described to be more mindful and more clear on what's going on, why it's more of a struggle, and to basically kind of tackle this one at a time. Oh, one last little comment is simplicity in organizational systems is really kind of key. I can't tell you. Sometimes this technology drives me crazy. Sometimes it's just better to go to paper. Paper worked a long time ago. It still works for many, and it might be bulky to kind of carry around, but sometimes it's really the simplest solution. So with that, we appreciate you guys tuning in to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Catch us next week for another great edition, and to learn more about what I'm all about and what I'm doing, go to digcoaching.com. With that, we'll catch you next week. Take care.